Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
2021 has been a notable year for American military veterans identifying as transgender. President Biden, just days into office, reversed a policy from the Trump administration that banned transgender persons from serving openly in the military.
And what I'm doing is enabling all qualified Americans to serve their country in uniform and essentially restoring the situation that existed before with transgender personnel, if qualified in every other way, can serve their government in the United States military.
And this year, the government also took steps to provide more medical and other benefits to these service members. For more, let's bring in Avalisa Ellicott, an Air Force veteran and communications director of the Transgender American Veterans Association. Avalisa, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you so much for having me.
Also, we have Paula Nira, a Navy veteran and clinical program director at the Johns Hopkins Center for Transgender Health. Paula, thank you for being here.
Hi, Scott. Nice to be here.
Good to have you both. So before we talk about policy, I want to ask both of you personally, as a transgender person, what was it like just being existing, serving in the military at the time you did?
Is you couldn't ask for help. Is that simply asking for help with saying, is that, hey, I'm wrestling with this, trying to come to understanding of it. As soon as I asked for help, that was the end of my career. And it wouldn't have just been, okay, well, here, we're going to let you leave. You know, the level of animus was such that it would have jeopardized an honorable discharge, would have probably gotten an administrative discharge for things like personality disorder, because that was the level of hostility that existed, you know, 30 years ago. Even at the same time that the military first recognizes that the reason why transgender people couldn't serve had nothing to do with military necessity or medicine, but just ignorance and bigotry.
Avalisa, your experience?
It was very much the same thing. And I got out right before Don't Ask, Don't Tell was repealed. And so for me, it was one of those things where I looked back into my military career and I was like, oh, that's so good for everybody else. That's so good that they have this freedom, because I was consistently in the lawyer's office and those were the only people that I trusted. And I was asking them, okay, what can get me kicked out? What will take my future from me? Whose word can do that for me? And it was terrifying. It was absolutely terrifying.
And just to make sure I understand, you both served in the military many years ago. Were either of you kicked out?
No.
No. I resigned my commission.
I received a medical retirement and immediately transitioned as soon as I was free and clear from the military.
Okay. So now, I mean, we're going to kind of zoom ahead in policy time, but in 2011, Don't Ask, Don't Tell is repealed. And now, as of 2021, the government says veterans who were discharged during Don't Ask, Don't Tell, who did not have an honorable discharge, can now apply for benefits, pensions, medical benefits, educational benefits. Can you talk about that, the reality to now being able to apply for these benefits?
Yeah, you know, the real practical effect is that people that earned benefits through their actual honorable service, now we're going to be able to access it. And it's being able to maybe buy a house and use a VA loan. If you qualify for some type of educational benefit that you get to use it, that you're able to access the VA medical system. If you have a compensable medical issue related to your military service, that you can be now compensated for it. All those things were barred if you did not have a completely honorable discharge. Even if you had a general under honorable conditions, some of your benefits were withheld. And now, you know, this change in policy is going to allow people to access it in a great way, and it's going to benefit thousands of people.
There is another policy change this year, and that is that the government is now offering transgender surgery to veterans. Veterans Affairs Secretary Dennis McDonough spoke in July to NPR's All Things Considered. Let's take a listen.
Based on the simple finding that those transgender veterans who suffer from gender dysphoria and who get treated in this way have a dramatically better outlook on mental health and as against serious questions like suicide than those who do not.
Now, I understand these regulations are still working their way through the bureaucracy, but Evelisa, what do we know about these questions of mental health, about these questions of thoughts of suicide?
Gender dysphoria is extremely hard to explain to someone who hasn't experienced it. But it is a really tough thing. And not every trans person wants surgery. Not every trans person needs some type of medical transition. But for those who do, the direct effect that it has on mental health is outstanding, with depression and anxiety. And when you're living a life that doesn't feel fulfilled, when you look in the mirror and you hate what you see because of the way that you were born, for a lot of people, specifically young trans kids, it results into suicidal thoughts. And so for different insurance companies to come to the conclusion that medical transition, gender-affirming surgeries are necessary and to start including them in coverage, but for the VA and TRICARE and all of these other, you know, government-adjacent health options, for them to say no, it just hurts.
Evelisa, I understand that you are considering the surgery or you want to pursue this. If and when these regulations come out, what does that mean for you?
That means I can finally cross something off that has hurt me and made my life difficult for my entire life. It's not, you know, that this is something that I have wanted, you know, for the past 5 years, for the past 10 years. I remember being a child and being upset that my body didn't look like other girls. And so that has been unreachable for me. It seemed like it was a possibility before the last administration, and then all of that was taken away. And so for it to finally be a reality for me, it's going to change my life.
Well, briefly, let me ask the both of you about possibilities moving forward. Of course, to some, these policy changes are taking place in what they consider culture wars. And we have seen conservative lawmakers condemn these policies as radical left-wing policies. Paula, first of all, what is the chance that a next president can roll these changes back?
Very possible. As you know, one of the things that you just saw in the last administration with the active duty policy of allowing transgender service had a change in administration and a 180 in policy. And the same thing can happen again until these are embedded in our legislation. When they're, you know, a covered benefit, covered by public law, then that threat recedes a little bit. And what we're talking about is medically necessary care. You know, there's decades of research that show that it's medically necessary. And, you know, you want to embed it in the regulations, in the culture of the VA, providing this kind of care. And that makes it a little bit more difficult just for a change in political administration to change these rules.
So there's legislation. Finally, Evelisa, what is on your list as far as policy looking forward to 2022?
As far as legislation goes, I just hope to be able to at least do some type of anti-discriminatory legislation that actually protects and covers trans people. I think everything else is really far in the future, because before we have these changes and before we see these changes, we need to change as a society. We need to understand that the way people live their lives has absolutely nothing to do with us, and we shouldn't have to try and control that. But again, I think that's just really far in the future. And so I'm celebrating the things that are happening now and celebrating the steps that we make as we move forward and being grateful for them and just hoping that, you know, we don't take two steps back.
Evelisa Ellicott is an Air Force veteran and communications director for the Transgender American Veterans Association. And Paula Neera is a Navy veteran and clinical program director at the Johns Hopkins Center for Transgender Health. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thanks, Scott.